You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
LeBron has already spoken to speak about all these matters. Mary Kay Cabot joins us live on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Usually at 8:05, she joins us at 8:20 this morning. Mary Kay, thanks for pushing back about 15 minutes, and of course, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Ken. Happy to be here.
Well, we're always happy to have you, Mary Kay. First off, we talked a little bit about Sam Beal earlier this week, and we thought maybe, you know, it could be a third-round pick or maybe even a second-round pick out of the supplemental draft. We heard about the kid out of Virginia Tech here. Why didn't the Browns decide that, and I know the Giants had gotten him with that third pick instead of the fourth where the Browns were at, but why did the Browns maybe decide that, maybe it was a little bit too rich for their blood when it came to a guy like Sam Beal?
Well, they may have bid a third rounder, but they had the number four pick, so they couldn't get him. So the Giants picked ahead of them, and it did not enable them to get at him. So I think that they probably were willing or ready to throw a third rounder at it, and it just didn't work out when they ended up with the number four pick.
Could have been a possibility with a second rounder if that were the case?
Yes, they could have gotten him in the second round, but I think that is where they felt that would have been too rich for their blood.
Yeah, that's and again, I know it's it can certainly be a bit confusing with me because we wanted to go back to Josh Gordon about whether or not Josh Gordon was worth a second round pick, and I said yes. Anthony disagreed with me at the time, and it was just because I feel that they've made a lot of mistakes. It's a crapshoot as it always can be if you're basing it on talent. I think that would be a hit. But with a guy like Sam Beal or with just anybody at the defensive back position, you think that this is maybe a highlight of what is needed at the defensive back spot or just, hey, this is a general manager who wants to add depth at a position and wants to be much, much better very, very soon?
Well, I think that it was an opportunity to add a potential starting cornerback, and I think they were prepared to go so high, but they weren't desperate. They didn't have to have any cornerbacks or defensive backs because they have a good assortment at the position right now. They've got a lot of guys to choose from, a lot of guys to throw at that second cornerback spot to see if they can win the job. So I think a third rounder was right about where you would have wanted to bid on Sam. And when I look back to Josh Gordon, I recall back then that he was talking such a good game in terms of his off-the-field behavior that I think the Browns were willing to go second round at that point, because they did not realize the extent of his addiction at that time.
Yeah, probably he didn't even realize the extent of his addiction at the time. Honestly, that was a long time ago. It was 6 years. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. I'm starting to look at the Browns in a different light. And part of the reason is because I keep getting so many people who are NFL people who evaluate talent, evaluate seasons as they come, pundits, if you will, and they'll say they're looking at the Browns that they could win 6-8 games to some folks. Some people are talking playoffs. I know Mark Sessler of NFL.com had an article about the 5 ways the Browns can make the playoffs. Are we starting to look at the Browns as less of a dark horse or less in the doldrums even and more towards maybe a trendy pick to make some noise this year?
Yeah, I think they are sort of starting to be a trendy pick to make some noise, and I think that Hard Knocks will only serve to fuel that even more. Now, I will say that the NFL.com series that you're talking about, they're doing that for all 32 teams. So I was, when I first saw that article too, I was thinking, that's interesting. That's going kind of far. But they are actually finding 5 reasons that every single team can make the playoffs this year. So take that one with a little bit of a grain of salt there. But I do think that the Browns are starting to be sort of the it turnaround team. And I think it's happening in part because of the respect that everyone has for John Dorsey and all of the things that you see that have happened on this football team since the end of the year. I mean, they've added a lot of good football players. They've overhauled this thing. They've turned it around. And people are getting excited about it. But I think the enthusiasm should be tempered a little bit by the fact that they have the 5th hardest schedule. They will be learning a whole new offense, a new terminology. And then, of course, you never really know for sure just exactly who is going to be available to you. You always have to take Josh Gordon one day at a time. You have to take Antonio Callaway one day at a time right now. So it has to play out still.
How do we treat Hugh Jackson going into this year?
you know, the way that I look at it is, you know, give him a chance to see what he can do with a better roster. He went into each of the past couple of seasons with, for the most part, rookie quarterbacks or somewhat challenged at the quarterback position, in part in his first year because the first two quarterbacks went down in the first 2 weeks of the season. And, you know, you can trace a lot of last year's problems to turnovers. You're not going to win the game and if you don't win the turnover battle, and they never did. They were so far behind everybody in that regard. So I think even if you just solve that issue, and we know with Tyrod, he's not going to really be throwing interceptions, I think that you have a chance to be in and to win some ball games. So my feeling on it is, let's see what he can do with a better team.
Well, because I want to bring this up maybe right before camp started, because I think we're going to have to start to establish us in the fan base, us as a fan base, us in the media. We might have to establish some hard, fast rules here. And I know it's always going to come down to personal opinion. It's whatever you think compared to whatever I think and so on. But if you're bringing this guy back, and you've had all this change, is this guy, this has to be, to me, looked at as a new lease on life. If we're talking about firing this guy a month in, you know pressure, and you saw that pressure last year, Mary Kay, that can lead him to some decisions that I don't think that he's necessarily thinking clearly about and turned out to be a disaster last season.
Well, I think it's going to take a little while, perhaps, for this offense to come together. Yeah. And if you look at the early part of the schedule, I mean, my goodness, they're starting out against the Steelers and then going down to New Orleans, two division winners. So I do think that they can, you know, they might get off to a little bit of a rocky start. I don't think that this team really, that will really know exactly what it's all about until maybe the second half of the season. That's when you'll be able to say, okay, now they know the terminology on offense. Now they can play a little faster. Now the younger guys are starting to come around a little bit. Now you know what Denzel Ward is going to be able to do. I think the second half of the season is where you'll really be able to say, okay, that this team is either on the right track or there's something gravely wrong here.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Who do you think is going to be that left tackle to start out camp and then as we get ready for week one of the NFL season?
You know, good question. They are really kind of proceeding with caution here. And no one is saying, you know, Sean Coleman is our man. I mean, they're doing things to show that they have plan B, C, whatever in place. And that those things include signing Greg Robinson, having Joel Bitonio wait in the wings, trying other guys out over there, giving other people reps. So they don't seem 100% sold on Sean yet, but I'm sure that part of that is just being realistic. It's a really hard job, and they cannot mess around over there. So I think that he will obviously head into camp as the front runner. Whether or not he will be there on opening day, I still think that remains to be seen.
But could we find ourselves in a situation where Austin Corbett develops soon enough to maybe take over at left tackle week one, or are they looking maybe in a different spot or maybe taking a little slower with him?
You know, maybe taking it a little bit slower. If that happens, he will have to be so rock solid in training camp and just be blowing everyone away. I don't see that happening right now. I think they would probably rather ease him into it. I think long term they have their sights possibly set on that, but I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him there to say, oh, they really are trying to make this happen for the opener. But again, things could change when camp opens and we start to see just exactly who's getting those first team reps.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot. For Baker, from what you got from minicamp, what's the thing that he needs to work on the most before we get ready for training camp?
You know, I think just overall speed of the game and identifying, you know, what defensive formations are and just spitting out the plays, and those plays are complex, and just really understanding the playbook so that he can play as fast as he can. It just takes time to assimilate all of that information. This is a complex pro offense. He didn't really have to do that much thinking. Now he's got to slide protections and deal with motions and IDing linebackers and all different sorts of things. And it's just a lot for a young guy. But I will say this. I think he's coming up the learning curve very quickly. He has the work ethic that you would want from a rookie quarterback. All of those things are really, really good. And I like the way that he's handled all of his responsibilities just in terms of, you know, getting along with the guys, being, you know, attentive and all those sorts of things with the coaches, media responsibilities. He just is, he's playing the part very well.
Was Tyrod a quarterback you were interested in before the Browns actually acquired him?
Well, I knew that they were interested in him because they had expressed interest the previous year. So yes.
So you were?
Yes.
Okay, because I was pretty excited. At first, I just didn't think it was going to happen, and then it seemed to come out of nowhere. And so I ended up being kind of excited about Tyrod Taylor coming to the Browns, Mary Kay. And then I talked to people in Buffalo, and you see some of these scouts. Like, we had Dane Brugler on just the other day. And I just keep getting from people that scouts, coaches, fan bases that he's played for, most notably Buffalo, they're all lukewarm to him at best. But everybody else who doesn't have Tyrod Taylor and doesn't have a true 100% franchise quarterback absolutely loves him. Why is there such a big disconnect?
You know, you're right about that. I have talked to a lot of Buffalo people, too, throughout this offseason at different places, you know, owners' meetings and things like that. And they are, you're right, they are lukewarm to him. And obviously, the Buffalo Bills did not think enough of him to pay him the $16 million he was owed this season. And that's, you know, that's not off the charts money. I mean, that's a lot of money. But it's not the $24, $25 million that some of them do make when they hit the market. So they were not willing to pay him that and bring him back, even though he took them to the playoffs last year, snapping a 17-year drought. They do have their concerns just about his ability to go out there and do certain things, throw over the middle, you know, be aggressive in certain situations. And he was obviously benched last year. So in favor of Nathan Peterman, a rookie.
It ended up being a horrible decision.
Yeah, it was a horrible decision. But, you know, I think that Tyrod has a lot more talent around him here. And as long as they support him with the right kind of offense and give him things to do that will showcase his dual threat ability, I think he'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to get accused of starting a controversy. Or trying to start a controversy. I'm not. I'm just curious. So bear with me here. But Tyrod goes from Buffalo to Cleveland. They supplant him with A.J. McCarron as of right now. They drafted Josh Allen, which, again, you're going in a rookie direction. I'm not going to fault anybody for that because obviously the Browns are doing the same. But can I read anything in to the I would perceive love that A.J. McCarron and Hugh Jackson had for each other, and that Hugh Jackson wanted A.J. McCarron, and that John Dorsey went out and got Tyrod Taylor instead and gave up a third-round pick? Is there anything at all I can read into that?
No, I don't think so.
I just want to make sure, that's all.
Yeah, no, I think they had an opportunity to get a player that they all felt was going to be a bona fide starter and a proven starter. A.J. McCarron is not, over time, a proven starter. Tyrod has enough of a body of work that I think that they could look at it and say, you know, we have a lot to work with here, and we think we can even bring out a better Tyrod Taylor here, surrounding him with the right talent and giving him a scheme that suits him.
Dee Haslam was in Crane's Cleveland Business yesterday. She said a lot of very strong things about her team. Do you think that there's been lessons that they've learned as an ownership group and things that they've experienced that they know that they can do differently and they've done differently already with John Dorsey being involved?
Well, I would certainly hope so. I mean, it's been a learning on the job process since the moment they bought the team. And, you know, there have been obviously some mistakes along the way, and it's unfortunate because those mistakes have really delayed the development of this football team. And one of those mistakes obviously was, you know, those guys trying to do this innovative approach of, you know, all basically analytics at the top instead of enough or at least one really good, solid, experienced talent evaluator with those guys to sort of show them the way. And, you know, I've written extensively on that topic. If they had set it up that way from the beginning, they probably wouldn't have had to fire Sashi Brown. But they did, and here we are starting all over again. Here they are starting all over again, I mean. And now they have to hope that this is all going to work out. And it's predicated upon Baker Mayfield being the right quarterback choice. If he is not what they hope he is, you know, then you're kind of not really back to square one because you can find a veteran quarterback somewhere. But that would be another major setback.
Because so I can't, Mary Kay, I'm sorry, but I can't put him in one category or the other because I want to say, well, it's a gut feeling because he's 6 feet tall. No, look at what he did statistically and with some of the advanced statistics of what he did with Oklahoma. That would tell you that that's a number one pick. I think that he's basically what they feel is their perfect mixture of both.
They absolutely 100% do. And obviously they had a lot of other choices. So this is going to be an interesting one to watch, and it's going to be fun over the next 3 or 4 years just to see how these quarterbacks in this highly touted class pan out.
Hey, real quick, yes or no, a wave at a baseball game, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, a good thing.
Why?
Just fun.
Okay, I like you. I hate that opinion, but I like you. Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you.
Thank you.
The wonderful Mary Kay Cabot. Is that fair to say? I mean, I like Mary Kay. I hate that.
Yeah, opinion. I think it's fair to call her wonderful. Fine. I think she's wonderful.
She is a wonderful person.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.